I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Alistair.
Oh, Andy. Matthews.
Yes. I'm glad you're here.
From the Two and the Think Tech
because
podcast.
I'd love to... That's correct. I'd love to remind you. And if the listeners are interested as well, that's great. But I need to tell you personally that there's the Stupid Old Podcast Festival is taking place on the 9th of October.
You're kidding me.
Alistair and I will be performing an episode... And it is a performance of Two in the Think Tank
That's
at approximately 2:30 on that day, Australian Eastern Standard Time. Australian Eastern
tickets.
Terrific Time is what you're going to have.
Yes.
And
not standard at all. This will be the most most fun you'll ever have watching a whole bunch of podcasts from your home.
Ah.
Or on the road.
Yes.
Maybe you're on the road and you've got a Tesla and you don't have to drive. And you can just put it on the screen like that, and you can sit
back. You can finally watch a podcast while you drive. For those long drives, some good podcast watching. Mm. And there's a link to the tickets below in the show notes. And Alistair, one more quick reminder about the hardcover versions of Gustav and Henry, now available from Red Comet Press, to readers. Book buyers in general, I don't know what you sickos buy your books for. You might
That's
not
right.
be buying them to read at all.
You could be buying a
whatever
copy
it is that
to eat it.
That's right. And for that reason, this book is made from 100%
organic
beef.
Material.
organic beef. So enjoy that. Look for that wherever good books are sold, but specifically at the website that I link you to in the show notes. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, their show where we come up with
five sketch ideas.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair from Blybert.
Yes. And I am coming off the back of a real good few days of COVID isolation with my entire family. Let me tell you, it's good to be here.
Is my whole thing tired.
Yeah. And boy is my will to live
tired.
Tired. But it did give me an idea, Alistair,
it,
for a new Olympics. A new Olympics.
Tired okay? Olympics.
No, not tired Olympics. I feel like we've probably already come up with that idea already.
All right. Sick Olympics.
But this is very close. Keep guessing. Sick Olympics is a good one.
Yeah.
No, this is the Parents Olympics.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's the I'm sure a lot of people at the Olympics are already parents.
Yeah, sure.
But let's be honest, probably not that many of them, you know? And if they are, they're not that hands-on, okay?
Sure, yeah,
but
yeah.
But this is, you know... could even be single parents Olympics, whatever, to heighten the stakes of the parenting situation. So you've got people showing up to the 100-meter sprint, and for whatever reason, babysitting's fallen through.
So
they got to bring their kids along with them.
But do they have to do the event whilst carrying their child?
Well, they don't have to, but a lot of them end up doing that, or you know, trying to set the kids up for something. So just at the start line there with something to do, a little activity.
Long jump would be perfect because there's a sand pit there.
Yeah, yeah, but the number of times you end up landing on your child.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the hazards. But, you know, you try and give them something to do at the start line there. You get halfway round. Then they're suddenly calling out for you because they can't get the lid off a pen. So you've got to run back. Yeah. Oh, for me, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
For me, with Hux, it's that he can't get the pen lid on the back of the pen, which is absolutely necessary because he's seen other people do that.
Yeah, that's non-negotiable.
I'm sorry.
That is a deal breaker.
Help! Help! Help!
And, you know, I mean, the favorite, you know, probably 50% of the field won't be present at all at the finals.
Yeah.
Because they just, you know, weren't able to get care couldn't face it.
The lure, the allure of canceling plans was too great. Just exactly. Showing up, you should get a medal.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably do on some events.
Mm.
I mean, it'll be hard. Yeah, you know,
there'll be other elements.
I think the gymnastics will be interesting to see them with all parents because they're usually so young. And so either they'll be much older or they'll be like people who have, you know, gone through teen pregnancies or.
Sure. But also, you know, parenting is not great for your body in general.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people will have let themselves go. And I think just getting up off the mat will be... Because they start sitting down, don't they, on the mat a lot of the time?
Oh, yeah, laying down.
A laying start. You know, a lot of the contestants spend the entire day in their pajamas.
Et cetera. Probably not a sketch idea, but I've found, because my kid likes to play pretend a lot, and I think I've probably mentioned this, but I have to figure out, I've over the years figured out I have to find roles for my characters in the games, the pretend games, where my character has to find excuses to be laying down. You know, and sometimes closing their eyes. Oh no, I think I've been hit by the radiation. Oh, I'm losing my powers. Like that. And you go, quick, I need medicine. You go get some medicine for me.
Yeah, well, Remy invented a game yesterday where it was like, now you pretend to sleep and I'll shout at you. And I'm like, you know what? I think this is fine.
Yeah.
Because
you are normally shouting. Now I get to lay down and close my eyes.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm actually participating. I'm actually engaging with you.
Yeah.
By doing that. So there you go. What about to be a more hands-on parent? You just get a whole lot more hands installed all over your body.
Yeah.
Is that anything?
Well, yeah. I mean, and eyes. You get like eyeballs. You know, something like contact lenses that block out your pupil. It's like a one-way mirror. They block out your pupil, right? So you can't. They can't see it, and then they have pupils that are added to the thing, to the lens, that make it look like you're always looking in the right spot.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be good for everybody.
Oh my god!
It blocks it out. So from your point of view, it's darkness, right?
Yeah.
You're effectively blind, but your eyes are darting around all over the place.
Yeah, well,
like you're very engaged. I think in that the you world
can
around
see.
You.
I think that you can see through. It's a one way mirror, or whatever. Two way, one way mirror.
Oh, I see. So you could be looking at it at the phone.
Yeah, you could be looking at the phone. You could be making dinner. You know. There's also a voice enhancement that adds enthusiasm to your voice. gosh, this doesn't give a painter a very nice picture of parenting right now. Sorry.
No. I mean, we've already come up with the idea where you basically have a robotic exoskeleton so you can continue to parent while you sleep.
Oh yes.
And I think that's exciting.
Mm.
I'm really looking forward for that. I don't think that's all that far away.
Yeah, the parenting. Because I mean, once I saw that crib that they kind of like that just like moves around and kind of like rocks your baby a little bit. You know, supposed to like.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I've seen like a crib that's supposed to like kind of like, you know, mimic basically being in your arms and, you know.
Very good.
You know, so like that, since I saw, when I saw that, I was like, well, that's, you know, that's going to take away a lot of the nice experiences and things like that. And I just feel like we could invent technology that takes away even more nice experiences.
Yeah, no, that's great. What did they call it? Did they call it Rock-a-Bot Baby?
Rock-a-Tot.
Rock-a-Tot.
No, I don't know. And I think it would be silly of me to try to look it up. I only know a couple of keywords that I could use, and I just don't want to do the searching.
Yeah, of course. I guess, you know, you'd need another robot that dangles your kids upside down by their feet and swings them side to side and makes fart noises
and
so they can be an upside down monster.
Throws them on the bed and then lands on them very lightly.
Yeah. There is a real art to that.
And the thing is that also, in order to land lightly like that, but also be able to lift the kids up, you actually have to make quite a big, heavy robot, right?
Mm.
And because in order for it to have the muscle power to sort of slow itself down and things like that. And so you just got to hope that it works.
I mean, the size of the supercomputer that you require maybe there's a sort of a threshold here. Maybe there's a reason we don't already have that robot. It's kind of like a Fermi paradox.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, the more advanced the computing power, the heavier and then more enormous the computer needs to be, requiring greater and greater levels of processing power to stop it from crushing your children.
Mm.
And otherwise, you know, it's like, you know, Fermi looked around and he said, where are all the aliens? We're looking around and saying, where are all
the robot parent replacements?
Really fun parenting robots.
You know what's interesting is that if we could have like a kind of like a robot nanny like that, there would be a time in which the robots obviously has, you know, perfect kind of, you know, the best of all parenting ability, the best of knowledge, the best of, you know, all the science and things like that. So then there would be a point where while your kids are being raised, they'd probably get smarter than you. They'd probably speak more languages than you. They would, you know, they would be more physically active, and, you know, everything that the robot would be perfect at convincing them to do things.
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, and so there would be this generational leap where we're all a bunch of dummies. And we thought, you remember, up until this point, we were like, well, now we're the adults, so we're finally in charge. and now we're, you know, we're like the top species. So we've been, you know, we've been the dominant ones for, you know, for so long. And then suddenly there's a new generation that we can't look down upon because they're genuinely better than us in every single way. And that's one thing that they're gonna, like, everyone's gonna become super, like, like kind of mopey and like just like, oh, well, I'm sorry, we couldn't be perfect like this generation.
Yeah, well, we will become the children, won't we? We'll become the grumpy, whiny little kids.
Yeah,
being looked after by these, you know, 12 and 13 year olds who have been raised so efficiently.
Yeah,
they've reached maturity.
Yeah, and they'll probably have more of an allegiance to the bots.
Well, I mean, once parenting robots are that good, it's actually a greater act of love to stop parenting yourself and make sure that your children are raised by the very best robots.
Yeah.
It's a bit like a sort of a private school kind of an argument.
Yeah,
you
know,
saying, I want the best for my children, so I'm going to send them away. Or something like that. Well, now you just, you know, if you really care, you'll get the really good robot, and it'll be right. I think I was just thinking though that of all the physical things that robots could do, the best one would be one that could just argue with your children for you. So it doesn't need any physical strength or anything like that. It could just be a little speaker that you put on the table.
Yeah,
and whenever you want your kid to do something, they can work through the all the pointless argument components.
Yeah,
they could use, you know, one of those algorithms that wins AlphaGo or chess or whatever like that. It can
have new moves.
Neural network to Yeah, new moves. It'll.
I never would have thought of making that argument against a child who was being completely irrational. Yeah. Yeah.
Because, to us, they seem like they're being completely irrational, but they are working on their own, perhaps, just a different logical system that we haven't been able to recognize or decode. So a little argument. I think an ad for an argument speaker, like...
Yeah, a little argument sphere that for some reason I picture it's able to roll even on the walls.
Yeah.
You know, it might have like a rolling suction cup or something like that, you know?
Yeah, I like that a lot.
It can just roll anywhere with you, you know? And it just, you can hop up into the car and, you know, because the kids will probably pick it up and throw it away and then it'll just roll back real quick.
Yeah, really good. Mm. Relentlessly. But then, of course, once we invent a robot that can convince children to do anything, that's also the good start for a horror movie, because we never know what the robot is convincing our children to do while we're asleep.
Yeah, and also what the company who runs it wants deep down.
Yeah, indeed. I think that's a great concept.
That's a great concept. The convince
great little bit of
perfect
sci-fi
convincing ball,
and that's a great name as well.
Perfect convincing ball in cinemas this weekend only.
love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Hey, why did they call it? Get ready for this, Alistair.
Okay.
When they were in the early stages of the pandemic, why did they call it increased investment to promote preparedness and resilience in our health service?
Yeah.
And not getting ready for the weekend. The weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, being weakened isn't really a...
Yeah.
You know, a medical crisis.
Just try to enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, why is it called elder abuse and not just trying to... trying to enjoy... what's left of the weekend,
right? And so in this case, elder abuse, this is like actually like sort of people having sex with the elderly there.
I didn't think of it in that
or
way.
Or were you like, or do you just find hitting old people to be something that people would consider enjoying the weekend?
I didn't specify this in my sentence to
enjoy it, and by that I mean hitting elderly people in a very technical fashion.
Alistair, I know it doesn't sound convincing when I say this, but I was picturing elder financial abuse. I forgot to put that keyword in there, and as a result, I may have lent my voice to a cause that I personally find repugnant.
Well, Andy, I'm not going to let that last line be edited into the clip that I post on social media.
Repugnant, though. What a great word.
Repugnance.
Repugnant. Yeah.
Repugnance. Repugnance. Let down your...
Your what? Your disgusting, greasy beard. No, wait. Repugnant. Repugnant. Let down your matted pubic locks. repugnant. Let down your shoulder pubes. It's diminishing returns, I'm afraid. I was just trying to chase that same high that I got from giving you that early laugh.
Sure. I mean, Andy, I don't know if you've ever considered writing a children's book, but repugnant. Let down your... I think in this case, we're going to have to go with your disgusting,
horrible, greasy,
your horrible
beard.
Greasy beard.
Who's forcing you to be up here? No, it's great. It's just away from people.
I mean, it is much more plausible, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
That it's just some horrible old hermit who's chosen to spend the time in the thing. And it's much more plausible as well that his personal hygiene would be appalling after that period of isolation.
Yeah, well, I mean,
then instead he would have beautiful long and strong hair. About to get that freak shit on here.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you could imagine that the tower would go pretty unused once Rapunzel escapes. And I guess
you think he's
that witch.
Like a hermit crab.
Yeah.
He quite literally is a hermit.
He was just a guy hanging out in the woods and then found a beautiful castle tower that he could just be away from everybody else.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's great. And he's wearing her underwear and stuff up there, I guess.
Yeah, Andy, I think that will make a great addition to the children's book. You are a professional at this. I mean, look, I'm just going to write down repugnant.
Great. I mean, what are we playing with there? Because it's not even like what we're playing there is the basis of that pun, such as it is
repug.
Is the letter R, and then the third letter P.
No,
and other than that,
but it's the sound rapa.
I guess so. I mean, it's spelt differently.
That doesn't matter. I don't think
rep, but
I mean, if you understood what I was doing,
written down.
If you understood,
we all understand, Alistair. Okay. I'm just saying that, you know, in terms of what you can justify in the written word, and I'm not even saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's flimsy.
Yeah.
And we've had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the guy doesn't care about his opinion. I mean, about his appearance. He doesn't care about his smell. He's not going to care that the pun fits too closely.
Mm, yeah. Okay. So he knows about the pun, does he?
Right. Well, because people have started calling him that because he's in Rapunzel's tower and he's gross.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he didn't also happen to be called repugnant. Do you think
that, although that would be great.
And the reason why he can't use the stairs or whatever that the witch would use is because he's filled it up with garbage and his own feces and stuff like that.
Oh, that's going to be great for my children's book. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, it probably would. Kids love that shit. They love a bit of filth, a bit of muck, a bit of bodily.
Probably eats spiders and birds and stuff like that. Uses the spiders to track birds. You know, I mean,
Kit, you know how like education isn't what it used to be, you know,
isn't it?
And universities. Yeah. I mean, all this woke stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they got in the universities and woke and universities and woke and you know, all that kind of stuff. And now they study, you know, not even real stuff like British history.
No, they don't do the basics. No. They skip over the basics now and they go straight into the complex.
And now it's like, oh, you can do a degree in Harry Styles, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, because it's all, you know, these days and nobody learns maths.
Yeah.
They just learn Harry Styles.
Yeah.
If we were really...
Yeah.
Pandering to kids.
Pandered.
And if we were continuing to infantilize
if we were really
a generation
pandering
after generation,
to kids, we'd be feeding them bamboo and sort of trying to make them have sex in the zoo.
Yes, and giving them an extra thumb, a second thumb, a vestigial second thumb.
Yeah. Gosh, we're doing well with the puns today. The Rapunzel.
I was just saying there'd be. I'm surprised there's not a university course in farts.
I think that would probably be a very important medical field.
Yeah, probably. the farts department. Farts
department. Do you think it's a whole department? Yeah.
Well,
you know, there's at the ANU, I think there's like a Jackie Chan Medical Center. So it'd probably be next to that. I don't know why, but it's, you know, it's comedy.
And is it true they only learn to do medicine on Jackie Chan? Is that true?
Yes. Well, no, it's medicine that Jackie Chan has come up with.
Oh, okay. I was going to say because he received so many injuries in the course of making his films.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
Maybe there is a sufficient demand based on his now very damaged body, and keeping him alive requires an entire field of medicine. And it's very possible that, you know, he's injured himself more than anybody else in the history of the world, right? And so he could be discovering new emergent phenomena type diseases that you only get when you've had a certain amount of things go wrong.
That's true, yeah.
So there are entirely new conditions that will only ever be applicable to Jackie Chan.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And you could have Jackie Chanistatists. You could have...
Jackie Chanistatist, yeah. Okay.
Jackie Chanistatist, yeah. I was hoping that I could think of another medical profession that starts with Anne.
Yeah. Wait.
Jackie Chan anesthesiologist, but I think that's the same as an anesthetist.
And antelope. Chantelope. Hunting the Jackie Chantelope in the fields of the Saran Chani.
Yes. Yeah, oh, fucking hell.
We did it, Andy.
Yes, very good.
Geez, coming up with comedy is easy.
I agree.
What about it's a post office and the guy who works there.
Oh, it's really good.
He's
a post.
Eh? He's a post.
He's a post.
Like he's a post. Oh, like as in like a metal pole.
Yeah, something like that. I've got to build a fences around our property pretty soon.
Do you?
Yeah, I might just pop down to the post office.
Yeah. It's an office. So it's like there's people. So it's like the word, it's like the TV show The Office. But instead of selling paper, they're selling posts.
They sell posts.
Like that.
And do we ever mention the fact that the name of the show is a sort of a pun on the already existing business of being a post office?
Yeah, well, it'll be called The Post Office because that's a pun on that it's basically we're remaking The Office. But it's being made afterwards and it's kind of going to be even a bit more knowing. You know, and probably it'll be a reference also to postmodernism. In that it keeps referencing The Office.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
So a lot of people in the show say things like, gosh, this is just like in that show, The Office.
Yeah. Well, because in this show, the TV show The Office exists.
Yeah.
And so,
maybe they could be watching it in some episodes.
They've all seen it, and then they go, and then when they look at the camera, like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They know they're just mimicking that show.
Yeah, great. And they're saying, I'm looking at the camera like in the show The Office.
And it's just like they're people who genuinely worked in an office and were like, let's try to get extra money by filming what we're doing. And then when somebody's a dickhead, we'll look at the camera.
Yeah, that's great. And then
that's the add to their business model of just selling posts.
And okay. And the boss, maybe they have a lot of meetings with the boss where they talk about ways in which they can make the... okay, Remy. Okay. I'm just doing a podcast. So can you go off with Mum? Is that all right? So I can finish? Thank you. Thanks, Carly. They have a lot of meetings where they talk about ways in which they can make it more like the TV show, The Office.
Yeah, and also try to find, you know, we need a storyline for today.
Yeah, great. And who do you think is the Dwight / Gareth of The Office? That kind of thing.
They all could be. It could be Sally.
Yeah, great.
Now,
or the person whose character is most like Dwight or Gareth, their name is Tim.
Well, what about,
unfortunately,
what about it's, they have to think about it because they go, well, we need somebody that we can bully, but we can't bully them every day because in the real world, which is in which they are, you can't actually,
which is what we're in, what, they say that.
That's what
they,
well, which is what we're
they
in.
They also reference the fact that they're in the real world. As
that
well
we're not a TV show. We actually are in the real world, and we're gonna get fired if we do this. You know, if we just bully, if we allow it, you know, if somebody gets bullied and we just allow it to continue, so we're all gonna have an agreement. Anybody who wants to work here, that we're all gonna take turns getting bullied once every day or once every episode, a little bit.
Yeah, that's really great. That's great. Victim of the month. They have a little. Victim of the week.
They probably also have to sign a contract.
Picture of them up on the wall.
Have to sign a little contract before each bullying, saying that you agree to this bullying and you waive any consequences of the
really good
of the bullying
or,
experience.
I mean, there'd be I suppose there'd be an HR type person there whose role it is to mediate the bullying, so the bullying can take place in a sort of a very official workplace type way. Where they, you know, somebody performs the act of bullying, the other person acknowledges it, and they discuss how it made them feel, but also, you know, hopefully how effective they think it was in terms of something that would be compelling to watch on television.
And the person who's there to mediate doesn't really want to be part of the TV show that much, but they had to sign a waiver. because they're from an external office and they're not really interested in this whole thing. But in order to get this job, they've had to sort of sign away their rights and their likeness and everything like that.
So, you know, they're like people who've watched The Office and be like, we should do that in real life.
Yeah, we should really film
it. Is the concept of this fake TV show that we're making. I love it. But even more than actually the idea of the show itself, I love the idea of spending a lot of time in meetings trying to work out the logic of what exactly it is that we're trying to do with the TV show that we're planning to make about people who wanted to do The Office in real life.
Yeah.
The fake TV show.
Yeah.
As part of our sketch show.
As part of our sketch. Well, you know, this one, I think this is genuinely a project that would be worth attempting. Because
I agree.
Yeah, because you're like, it's so stupid that you have to be working it on multiple levels where you've got the reality and you've got the trying to be like The Office.
You'd have the boss who is trying to play the David Brent / Michael role and is really uncomfortable about it.
Yeah.
They don't feel good at doing it. They find it degrading. It's affecting them emotionally.
Yeah. And he's always trying to find new industries to take the business into outside of posts so that they don't have to keep doing this TV show thing to make extra money to survive. Yeah. You know, maybe I could do the fencing wires as well, you know?
Yeah.
Nah.
But they don't have time. They don't have time to properly pursue any of those other avenues because the TV show takes up so much of their time.
Yeah.
And is so successful.
It's going really well. People love the postmodern aspect of this TV show and the way in which it reflects how we're all struggling financially and are having to do things that we don't want to do.
Yeah, well, I hate that. I don't want to do that. Yes, and they love that.
Well, that's what they love. Yeah, well, that's what I don't love. Oh,
actually, yes.
Every time that you say that you don't love it, the ratings go up.
I don't know how. I don't know how people know that you're saying it when they're watching a different channel in order to switch over.
But somehow they're clicking
there's
over.
There's some kind of psychic
especially,
connection occurring.
Especially when it's on a streaming service and they're watching something else and then clicking over onto this show and fast forwarding
at the exact time
to the point in the episode. It's truly remarkable.
Scientists are studying it as we speak.
Mm.
And so in your extra time, when you're not making this TV show or selling posts or trying to diversify the business, you're actually going to have to go along to a secretive government facility where they're going to perform exploratory surgeries on your body and brain to work out how you're able to achieve this telekinetic phenomenon. Telekinetic?
Yes.
Telepathic.
Telepathic.
Telepathic. Oh,
that's a great storyline for one of the episodes.
Yeah, great. Great.
This is the kind of stuff that will really, use up some time, and then it's so stupid. It's a perfect storyline.
Oh,
how?
God.
How are people finding out? I don't know. There's a whole new science being based off of this phenomenon.
Oh, wow. And he gets back to the office on Monday morning. His body's all bruised and bandaged from
these tests.
He's just been dumped back. They dump him back every Monday morning because they need him to keep making the show so that they can get more data. But every Friday night as he's leaving the office trying to get home to his family, they come and grab him in one of their vans and take him off for more tests.
Like E.T.?
Yeah.
People in big hazmat
exactly
suits.
Like E.T. They're hunting him through the little nearby forest that he runs into.
He's riding a bike. He's wearing a blanket.
But that's part of the TV show as well, and people love that even more because that's making people tune over even faster because that's exactly the kind of nostalgia shit that people love from like Stranger Things and that kind of thing right now. Oh. And every single thing that happens makes the show more and more popular. And this guy's life is getting worse and worse.
This is, Andy, I can't wait to make this.
Oh, great.
This is genuinely one of the most fun things ever. That's our fifth idea for this one. So,
what a way to go out.
Yeah. So, well, no, we still got
to go in.
Yeah, to go in.
Three
absolutely.
Words from a listener.
Into three words from a listener. Today's listener, Andy, is Nick Bauer or Nick Bower.
I'm sure I've said this before, but you can't spell a listener without a list.
That's
and
right.
And that is exactly where all of our listeners come from. They're
That's
all
right.
Some of the top.
They're all on top a people. List. Hopefully.
We're not going to say which one.
Could be on the list of listeners that we have. That we keep.
Could be a watch list, and by that I mean a list of
good names
watches.
For watches.
Good. Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Like this one, the Brower. The Brower, beautiful name for a
Bauer.
Watch.
Bower.
Bower, even better. The Bower.
The Bower.
Nick of Time.
Mm.
Nick of Time, that's a great name for a small watch shop where he repairs watches.
Yep, and his name is Nick.
Nick and he has his own watch that he hand makes painstakingly and called the Bower.
Yeah, and that's right. And and he could be the Bower as well. And so that every time he hands somebody a watch, he then folds at the center and then shows that he is not worthy of such a great customer by showing that he's beneath them, lowering his status. Yep. Well, not only is Nick one of our listeners, but he also sent in three words.
This is all falling into place.
From a listener.
It's beautiful. Mm. Yep.
And would you like to try and guess what those three words are?
Yeah, okay. The first word is insert.
No. The first word is two. No.
Two?
Yeah.
Two. T-double-O, T-W-O.
T-W-O. It's crazy, isn't it? One's T-double-O, the other one's T-W-U-O.
Mm.
That's insane.
Mm. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
Crazy. Makes you think. Okay, so I reckon the next word is in the think.
Man, if you hadn't been so ambitious in that moment, you would have got that.
Oh, damn.
The second word is in.
Two in. Well, I wonder if the third word is going to be tank, because it's been a while since somebody's fucked with us in this way. Mm. But in a way, I don't want it to be. But in another way, I love a bit of nostalgia, and I'm going to say it's tank. Two in tank.
Oh, my goodness, Andy. You are going to shit when you realize that it is two in taint.
Taint.
That's right. Two in taint.
Oh, wow. I mean, imagine if we discovered a previously undiscovered orifice in the middle of the taint.
Two undiscovered orifices.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
But two. Actually, it's all little holes all the way. The taint is just a series of tubes.
Parts unexplored. I mean, that would be so exciting for the body to have a new hole that nobody knew about. That would be huge. Imagine that leading the nightly news. That's the opening story.
Yeah,
quite literally on the evening news, as they maybe it's even breaking
our opening story today.
Openings.
Oh, yeah, a cave. Caves are a great way into. Anyway, forget. I got nothing. I got nothing, Andy.
Alistair, it's great. Because what's great about that is that we actually came off trying to write news headline jokes.
I know, that's what I was going back into.
Straight into this podcast.
Yeah.
And we're bringing some of that same creative momentum that was making the headlines flow so beautifully and easily. Oh, coming out of us, slipping out of us like juicy. Oh,
like an unchewed, greasy sausage. Hey, just using your intestines like an unchewed, greasy chipolata, using your intestines like a water slide. Hey? But a grease slide. Oh, that's a fun. Come to our grease park.
Oh, that's a really good idea. That's a really good idea. It's not Water World. No.
Oh.
Fluid World.
Cause
this is the slipperiest fucking slip and slide.
Yeah.
I mean, water, when you think about it, water's not that slippery.
No.
But you can go, I mean, God, no smoking is one of their big rules, because they have so many different petroleum-based liquids.
Another grease fire at the,
right,
at the grease slide.
There'd be one that's all WD-40. That's a very thin oil. I mean, I'm really excited about that idea. You write that down.
I'm writing down grease slide park. But two in taint.
Yeah.
Two in taint? Like, okay. No, I don't want
to. No, I mean, previously undiscovered orifice. You're telling me you're not writing
that
down?
Oh, yeah. But I want to think about what the orifice is. Imagine that, a little pouch in there. A little pouch where actually we discover that we are marsupials.
Oh, that'd be great.
And the pouch
is just... But then your kids are going to want to crawl up in there.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is that you could... The thing is that we didn't know. It's that this is the first marsupial. We're the first marsupial, or the last remaining marsupial, where the pouch is on the male. I guess it's like seahorsey kind of thing, right? And there is actually a point in the where the mother is carrying the fetus where if you were to lift up your testicle bag and press it up against the,
and that's a big if.
That's if you were to do that, you know, if you're not already doing that. Right? Yeah. This is why we haven't discovered the orifice until now. No one's really done this where they've lifted up their testicle bag and held it up towards their belly, right? And then the opening to the pouch is just behind the bag at the beginning of the taint there, right? And so there's a slot there and there's a smell that comes out of it. and if that goes up into the birthing canal, that alerts the fetus that it's time to crawl out. Right? And then the fetus comes and crawls out and then gets into the little pouch under there. It's very...
Oh, I think it gets into the bag. I think it crawls into the ball bag.
No, not into the ball bag. There's a slot in the pouch behind the
Alistair,
ball bag.
It gets into the ball bag. This explains why the ball bag is so stretchy.
It's so roomy. Of course.
All that unutilized. It's very...
Okay, yeah.
Very mammalian pouch.
Well, that's true. You're right. I apologize. It's so stretchy. It's perfect for carrying a baby and being in there with its brothers and sisters. It's half brothers and sisters.
I am having a really bad time imagining what that experience would be like.
Yeah, being in there with all your half brothers and sisters.
No, being the father and feeling that happening.
Oh, well, you would end up having a bra for your testicles kind of thing, like a really, really supportive underwear.
I think once it's in there, it's okay, but it's the feeling of it crawling in.
Yeah, well, it turns out that there's enjoying. Just if you just reach behind, there's just a little like, there's just a little flap that if you just like, you know, it's like opening up a CD, you know, like the plastic cover of a CD.
Sure,
if you could just get
sure.
your nail under it a little bit like that, you can just, and then you can get that opening and just pull it open a bit more like that. And it re-glues.
That doesn't make me feel better about it.
And then you just, and then it reseals like a rice bag or whatever. Like one of those ones that's got a little adhesive.
Yeah. Ziploc kind of
zippy locky a bit. Yeah. You know, it's never perfect. And then
no, it's not.
And then the painful bit is getting it back out.
Yeah.
But how satisfying would it be to just, you know, once it's full of baby, it would almost be better to just run a knife along the whole thing. You know how there's that line? I don't know if like there's a line along the testicles that kind of looks like it's a join line. Just run a.
And I think that's exactly what it is. I think that is where the
labia joins up
into
the testicle bag. I think, right? And so then you just run a little knife along there, and it'll split open like one of those Japanese omelets that's like wet on the inside. You seen those?
I don't, but yuck.
Yeah.
Yep, sure.
Split open like that and a baby will come out and you just got to move your testicles aside, you know, untangle the testicle.
Sure.
Or maybe the baby's using the testicles to feed off of like while it's in.
I'm worried that that's probably part of it. Yeah.
But that's okay.
Anyway, there you go. That's exciting.
Yeah, and then also because very it's exciting. Feeding on just like pure protein, it comes out ripped.
It bursts out.
Bursts out. Like fully muscly.
Tears its way out.
Yeah. So.
A real ball tearer. Yeah.
Testicular. What's the type of marsupial pouch? There you go.
Yeah, I mean, this is all great. It's all really exciting.
Yeah, this is
very
so
promising
good.
And bodes well for the future of humanity and indeed the podcast. Alistair, would you like to quickly take us through the ideas?
I would love that. We've got
so
Parent Olympics.
On this episode of Two in the Think Tank.
We've got Parent Olympics. We've got the Greater Generation raised by nanny bots, way smarter than the parents.
Not nanobots, nanny bots.
Nanny bots. Then we got ad for argument rolling ball, perfect convincing ball, which becomes a horror film. What are they convincing them of? Then we got the repugnant, let down your hideous, disgusting, greasy beard. I put in one too many adjectives in there, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Then we've got post office, the show where they make their office like the TV show The Office to make extra money. You know, this is just a regular small business struggle in the age of endless content, you know? And then we've got the grease slide park. And then, of course, we have the testicular marsupial pouch discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes us to...
There you go.
Hoo-ha! Hoo-ha! Hoo-ha!
Boom!
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 Thank you so much for listening to In Think Tank. We really like that you did that to it and us and of and it and to as well.
You can buy tickets to the podcast festival. To be honest, I think it's not been said out loud, but we're kind of doing it as an extra fundraiser because the festival, the building, the office has been much more expensive than everybody
expensive to build.
And so, yeah.
But also, we're going to have a great time doing the festival.
That's right. It's going to be a great time, and we're trying to offer something in return. So
we're not just a fundraiser. It's also a fun.
Drazer. That's right. And so you can also buy the hardback copy of Gustav and Henry from the United States if you happen to be visiting there or living there or living and
or
visiting.
Both.
And
yes.
A different part of it. and you can follow
thank
us
you for
on
everything.
Everything. If you want to follow us on everything. Twitter, Instagram, Be Real. Two and Tank doesn't have a Be Real, but you know, if you can find out what my contact details are, you can contact me on Be Real and we'll be real together. And then there's that last thing that we say,
we
love
you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Goodbye.
And each other. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.